want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You wanna. Do you want a podcast? Do you want a show? Do you get your laughs from computer radio with this bro, Scotty Mo? It's about time to lose your shit. Everybody's progress clips for that legend, Kevin Smith.
Welcome to Smodcast. I'm Kevin Smith. Okay, I can count on one hand the amount of these that I've done in my office not smoking weed. Probably two, maybe three. It's very rarely. Every once in a while you run across somebody who's like, I'm living sober, and you respect that. Or you come across, I mean, honestly, that was it. Maybe once when I had my kid on the podcast, when Harley was little, I think I didn't smoke. I ain't smoking today because our guest is young, but comes from a land of weed even before the whole damn nation went legal and stuff like that. And we are in a legal weed, land of California and stuff, but he's still technically what they would call a kid. Now, when you say kid, I challenge you to hold up any childhood to the childhood our guest has had over the last few years, man, and he's handled it incredibly well. We've crossed paths a few times. I was lucky enough to present him with the word once. I saw him in San Diego and talked to him as well. And very rarely do you meet people in this business who are also level-headed and got good heads, good hearts and stuff, particularly when they get them young in this business, kids. You see story after story about what happens to kids jump in this business too young. This kid's got a good head and a good heart, man. And way talented and taking every job every teenage actor in the business probably wants right now. He is absolutely everywhere. He's one of these kids you're going to watch the whole, if you're lucky enough, but you'll probably die before it ends, you're going to get to watch the whole expanse of this kid's career. You're going to be like, I remember when, ... You'll be watching this kid step up, pick up 10 one day on a stage and stuff like that. He'll probably say nice things best. Parents, because he's a damn good kid and a damn talented kid, man. The only kind of kid that the great land of the true north ever produces, man. He has been popped probably a number of times, Funko wise.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta be, right?
A few times, yeah.
He is insanely world famous. They know him everywhere because he is part of a program that became a cultural phenomenon. And then went on to be in a movie that became a cultural phenomenon. He's got stuff coming out this year. Is it an Amblin flick?
Yeah, I'm doing an Amblin flick called Turning.
The Turning.
Yeah.
There's an Amblin flick coming out. There's going to be another season of Stranger Things. Season 4 has been kicked off. And later this year, Ghostbusters happens. Yeah. In the midst of all this, this fucking slacker, underachiever kid also has a band.
Oh, yeah.
Calpurnia that he tours with and performs with and probably will be doing something this year.
Yeah, that venture has since been
You've
done.
Altered into something I've, else. I've You've altered, joined another
I've altered,
band.
Yeah, altered into a smaller
We're
going to
find
thing.
Out yeah, we're gonna, about yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, as yeah. we sit here and chit-chat with the ever-busy, ever-good-hearted, ever-talented, and we're only sitting here because he's got like a minute in a jam-packed schedule and he was like, oh, I want to do a podcast with Kevin Smith. I owe him a podcast. What a great kid, man. There are many people in this life who are hard, but there aren't many that are Finn Wolf hard. Welcome.
Oh, man. That's a very nice opening.
How have you been besides busy?
I've been good. I've been good. I've been finishing up my last year of high school in Vancouver.
So did you do you still boots on the ground go to Escuela?
Escuela.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Ever since Even Stranger? When does that shit shoot?
Last year was all summer, so I didn't really
miss
any
school.
But before that, it was, you know, like October to, you know, it's a long shoot. It's like 6 months, so.
So how much school of your, like, high school career did you miss?
Have I been to
an actual school?
Yeah, well, my friend told me, came up to me the other day and was like, this might be the longest I've seen you at school before. And I'm like, really? It's more than like 30 days at least. And I was like, well, it feels good. But I've been going to school my entire, I was homeschooled 1 year in seventh grade, which was like great and also like kind of like hell, because I kind of had a year just to do nothing. In seventh grade, I had a year just to do nothing.
Were you acting at this point?
Yeah, I was considering quitting.
Considering quitting acting?
Yeah, because so I had, when I was like 8 years old, I had a long, long run dream. Like for some reason, I've always been like, I just always have a plan.
Right.
And my plan, I started making like little movies with my friend Simon. And
at age eight?
A little young, like 7 or 8.
Predicated on what? Who puts a camera in your hands? Why does that happen?
Is
that just your generation? Because you all have iPads?
Well, that's the thing is like, you know, I remember hearing like, oh, there's a camera on your iPod or whatever, iPod Touch. And that's like an incredible thing to put in a kid's hands, because now it's like anyone could be a filmmaker. I mean, anyone, you know, the people that are actually doing films, like there's a reason why they are. But, you know, Sean Baker did that whole movie Tangerine, which is
on an iPhone.
On iPhone. With
Went into theaters.
And then also like, but he shot it on like, it wasn't just like the iPhone. He had like some cool lenses, right. You know, he had the extra money. But like the point is, you could definitely do that. And, you know, my friend was, I had no idea how to edit. That was the thing.
Old are you?
I was like 8 at the time.
Well, like, why would you know how to edit?
Do kids
know how to edit at age 8 now? A great amount of pride in knowing how to edit.
Well, that's the other thing is you edited your first films.
Yeah.
And still,
that's the only way I can. Like, you've worked with a lot of directors now, and I'm sure you've seen, they come with like a plan and stuff like that. Some of them like, we're going to shoot a package of coverage.
Yeah.
I kind of go in, literally shoot only the pieces I know I'm going to cut together, because I'm not an editor so much as an assembler, probably.
Well, Jason Reitman, who I know has been on the podcast, Reitman, he has the entire movie planned cut in his head before he goes in. Like,
is he his own cutter as well?
No, he's not his own cutter, but he does this thing where he, like, pages and pages like of each kind of big scene that he has,
right.
And he'll go in with second team with the stand-ins to the location before we start shooting and kind of take pictures of, you know, a medium shot back from behind. So that's also a really cool thing I wasn't entitled. I was already kind of like a dick filmmaker at like 8 years old. Like, I was like, why won't they give like a 10-year-old $1 million to make a movie? Like, that was my thinking behind it. Which
kind of fucking progressive parents do you come from, man?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty ridiculous.
And entitled Why won't they give a child millions of dollars?
Well, they weren't. They didn't. But they were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just go to school and go to church. But
and church. And church? What faith?
Because I grew up in going to a Catholic school.
Did you go to Catholic school?
And I still go to Catholic school.
You're in a Catholic school?
Yeah, it's just a great like reality check.
I was raised Catholic.
Yeah.
You got to make excuses.
Yeah.
do you have to wear a uniform?
Yeah, totally.
Let's go. Normally when we do this show, we always it's kind of more or less, this is your life, where you have a guest and you kind of go back to the beginning. But for you, that's going to take
Yeah.
We were just talking a second ago. Finn was just like, how long you lived here? I'm like, well, in February, it's going to be 18 years. When are you going to be 18?
I just turned 17, so in a year I'll be 18.
So I've been in this house longer than you've been on this earth. Yeah. But in that short amount of time, and in an even shorter window of that time, you've exploded onto the pop cultural landscape. Let's figure out how that happened.
On accident. That's how I feel.
Well, it can't be an accident if you're sitting there going, I'm going to shoot movies at age 8.
Sure.
You've got dreams, kid.
Sure. I wasn't complaining of going out to people and complaining, give me money. But in my head, I was like,
you had the artist
mentality.
People
have, I was like, I feel like I have some cool ideas. Like, I feel like, you know, but
just
then
enough,
again, I don't think I did, but
it's enough. What is it?
Like confidence?
Yeah, and it's a little beyond a reasonable amount of unreasonability.
Sure.
Because it's unreasonable to be like, it's literally unreasonable mm-hmm. for a kid to be like, why won't they give kids $10 million?
Yeah.
But that's what shapes like the future. That's what shapes art.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a reasonable amount of unreasonability. Unreasonable amount of unreasonability is like, I'm going to jump off the roof with no jetpack and fly.
Sure.
Reasonable amount is like, I'm going to make some art.
Yeah.
Like, even at a young age. Mm-hmm. And if you're feeling that, like, from age 8, for mm-hmm. heaven's sakes, like, that's how people go, like, How do people get successful at a young age? There it is. Even at 8, you were like, I think I feel the calling. The
I feel like I've always, had a drive. And the minute I found, you know, my, I met another kid in fifth grade who knew how to edit on like a very basic, like one, an earlier version of like iMovie, which is the built-in thing on Mac. Right. And I remember him putting titles on the screen, onto a screen, and it blew my mind.
You were like,
it,
oh my God.
But it was like Comic Sans. It was like the worst, you know, obvious, but it was, obviously. And
At least it wasn't that Avatar font for him.
Yeah. What is it called?
Did that whole SNL sketch.
Yeah. It's
Papyrus.
Papyrus. Classic Papyrus. Yes. But yeah, I mean, I've always. But yeah, I guess this, that whole pop culture thing was completely out of left field.
All right. When do you decide I like acting? Or does somebody go, like, hey, you look like you should be in shit?
No, I feel like it would have been different if I was, like, discovered.
Right.
You know, because, like, sometimes you hear, like, oh, so-and-so was discovered at the mall, and totally. That's how we got. And it's, like, I feel like if someone came up to me at, like, 9 years old, and they were, like...
You'd be like, help, please.
Yeah, I would have been, like, what? No. Yeah, totally. Yeah, someone's talking... Stranger danger.
You grew up in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm.
Where in the van?
Like, Kitsish area.
Get out of here, kinda, little Kitsilano area.
Yeah.
It's, for those who've never been, British Columbia is the jewel of the West Coast. This is where I went to film school. It's where I go up to do, like, CW shows, like, Supergirl and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's... A beautiful place.
It's amazing.
Rio Theater. Of course.
Yeah, I go there all the time.
You seem like a Rio kid.
Oh yeah, I just a few months ago I saw Akira there, the big screen. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. But yeah. So it's great going back there. The Pacific Northwest is, in general, also is just great.
Mm.
Seattle, all that
it's
stuff.
It's a good place to be from too.
Yeah,
like it gave you some roots, gave you some earth. What do mom and dad do?
Well. So my mom was like a visual artist for a long time.
Ah, and now we're starting to see the DNA.
Yeah.
So and already you got a reasonably unreasonable parent.
Yeah. And then my dad, he does like a lot of stuff for Aboriginal people in BC and like land claims.
I think I've seen you do like charity.
Yeah, I've done a lot. Yeah, for First Nation schools and stuff.
Yeah.
But so he did that. But in the I would say early 90s, he started writing screenplays figured out that that's really what, you know, he loved to do.
That's the calling.
And so he went to L.A. and got an agent at Gersh and everything and did it for a while. And then he was like, well, this isn't going to make me any money. And then went home and became kind of like a lawyer, but still kept writing.
Right.
Even now he's writing.
Now
still.
Another reasonably unreasonable parent in the mix as well. So you come from two dreamers at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Naturally, they got a dreamer kid who's like, I think I would like to do this stuff.
And they're like, okay.
Who tells who? Do you tell them or do they tell you? You're good at this. You should. Or do you go, I would like to.
I told them and then they were like, well, if that's what you want to do, then you should do it. Which is hard, I feel like, for any parent to just be like, yeah, sure.
Particularly
like,
at a young age.
And also, for the whole, I've got 5 months left of high school and I still, you know, for two parents to sit there and be like, you don't have to go to college is a really hard thing to
I did that
grasp.
For my kid. I'll be honest though.
Yeah.
I was just like, the moment my kid was like, I don't think I want to go to college. I want to act. I was like, you know what? Like you go to college to figure out what you want to do
exactly.
in life. If you know what you want to do, that's great. My wife was like, oh no,
go on
to school. And I'm like,
it's the exact same thing with my parents. My dad's like, no, you know what you're gonna do, man. Like, not a lot of spending a bunch of money doesn't. And my mom's like, well, what if he wants to do something else? So
that's what I told her inside. I was like, we are gonna save
so much money.
This is gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be so good.
We're gonna put additions on the house because this kid is done with school.
Yeah, that hit is not gonna be
it's not gonna be very large.
Yeah, as much.
All right, so what, where, and why in Vancouver does acting come into the equation? If you're running around with cameras and stuff and trying to make little movies.
Well, I kind of figured out, my dad and I would talk a lot about it, and I would be like, you know, I heard about like NYU, mm-hmm. and I was like, that's where filmmakers are like, yeah, I know, right? I was planning.
One of them advanced kids, man.
Well, I was like looking, because I would read interviews and watch interviews with directors, and I'm like, man, all these directors go to film school, like that's...
Being one of the best.
And then my dad was like, well, a lot of actors start as actors and then they go into directing. Like, I know, and I was on like I would do like improv class, because a lot of it also comes from my brother. My brother's 5 years older than me and was like on the improv team, and like,
so he was acting as well.
So yes, and he's a voice
actor.
There's a reasonable amount of unreasonable
in the house.
Yeah, and so my brother was really like, you know, he also, he's the one who also showed me Clerks and all that stuff. So
he's also a bad influence.
Yeah. So a lot of it, I guess, like, kind of came from everyone in my family, and then we kind of figured out, oh, like, maybe if I wanted to be a director, maybe you should try being on a set and learning firsthand what's going on set. So we went on, there's like open casting calls online. Mm. There's like even Craigslist, which is what you...
So shady.
Right, which is what you hear, you know.
Yeah, it's like, be in my movie.
Yeah, come be in my movie, child actor.
Dead,
slain. 11-year-old boy needed.
Kills Alano.
Yeah.
Somebody said, hey, come audition for something?
I saw an ad for a local Vancouver band who needed a kid for a music video. And we went up to West Vancouver.
Are you into music at this point?
Not as much. I mean, like,
have you learned to play a guitar?
No, I know how to play bass at this time. Okay. I was playing bass
at that point when they were like, come be in this music video.
Yeah. And I started playing bass in 2010. So I was like 8.
When are you going to run for prime minister?
You're
on a bell curve that's not, way ahead of everybody else, kid.
I don't sound like, oh, I have to play bass.
You sound like every creative person I've ever met. It starts early.
Sure. I just loved it. I loved doing it, and it gave me, and also part of it was like, I didn't want to play sports. Like, my school is a huge jock school.
Is it an old school or a school?
I went to this tiny little little weird Catholic school,
and
like 200 kids.
Sports oriented?
And most schools kind of are. Like, right. You know, obviously, like, there's a bunch of art schools now, there's a lot more. But this one specifically, when I was younger, was very, very. I mean, and I played sports, you know, I played like football and I liked it, but I wasn't as much into it, which kind of made me a harder kid to, you know,
reach.
Right. So I only had, you know, like one friend that entire time, which is totally
also
all you need.
In the DNA of every creative person.
Exactly. You have the first one, you know,
a believer.
You got a believer. Yeah. And so I just started doing it more, and then like a big thing came in, which is like it. And I knew about
this
it.
This is pre-Stranger Things.
Pre-Stranger Things, pre-anything. And so
you've done nothing at this point.
I've done no like professional job.
High school or grade school stuff. You've been on stage as a kid?
Improv. Like, that's it. Yeah. Like, no, like, really, like, no theater or anything. And so I got this, like, open casting call, like, self-tape.
For Vancouver area?
For Vancouver, for it.
And the director then was
Cary Fukunaga.
Right.
Who, you know,
just come
did
off of
True Detective.
And was on fire.
Yeah. So I do the audition for that, and then I, you know, I do 2 tapes, and they're like, oh, they really like you, come to LA. And that was, like, mind-blowing for me, because I was like, oh, my God, like, that's amazing. You know, they flew us out. And
for
Hollywood? And then we went to Warner Brothers, and that was, like, mind-blowing to see, like, the water tower and, like, you know, all that stuff. And then so I walk in, I see a bunch of other kids, and, like, it's a chemistry breed. So, chemistry, like, for people who don't. I mean, I'm sure it's exactly what it sounds like. It's like they test your chemistry with other kids to make sure that you're okay together.
How old are you at this point?
12.
So do you have, would you say, at 12 years old, as you're sitting on the lot, Warner Brothers, seeing if maybe you're going to be in it?
I was just having, like, I was so happy just to be there.
Is there any sense of like, oh my God, we're breathing rarefied air. This is nuts. Or at 12, are you like, this must happen to everybody?
It was like a bit in between. I was like, this feels really otherworldly, but I also like, this
right,
is also, I'm weirdly, yeah, it feels okay. It feels right.
God, that's amazing. People.
Yeah.
Successful
very
people
lucky.
Adapt to success at an early point.
Some, yeah.
It destroys some people.
Oh,
some people
totally.
Like, miss the
early
chance.
On.
Yeah.
I got a few more years to go. We'll see.
Yeah,
but,
that's true. You got bodies. We're gonna get to that list of bodies.
Yeah.
So do you get cast in that version of
it? I get cast in that version. So I do
as Richie?
As Richie. As the same character. And then we're like a week to shooting, and we're like, that's weird. They haven't booked our flight yet. Like, I wonder what's happening with that. And then just we hear more and more like, oh, the director isn't in the place we're supposed to be filming. That's weird. It was like, you know, 5 days before we had to fly. It was originally going to be shooting Nyack, New York, upstate New York. Right. And then I just got a call from Carrie that was like, hey, I'm dropping out. We're not doing the movie anymore, but thanks so much. And like, you know, don't let it discourage you and all this stuff. And I was like fully crushed. I was like, well, if this is what movies is, then fuck this. So I stopped. I was like, I'm going to stop acting.
But I mean, what an amazing lesson to get.
The first, like, well, the first like big job.
Welcome to paradise,
it's
kid.
Like, yeah, you're gonna stay home now. So, so then I was just so like, whatever. I don't really want to act anymore. If it's just like the, you know, you run it, because it's acting. Also, like I said, like I got it really early, and I have a lot of actor friends that really have to grind. Like, mm-hmm. It's really, a lot of it is really humiliating, going over and over
rejection
and over again.
Rejection.
And so I'm glad I didn't have to deal with that for a long time.
Because you probably would have been like, you know what?
Yeah, then I was like, you know, I can deal with rejection, but I'd rather like be making it than like having to like just keep auditioning for new things and like... So I was like, I still wanted to be a filmmaker.
Right. You'd be like, I ain't going to be on that side of the camera. I'm going to be on this side of the camera, or I'm in charge.
Right. So that went, and then I was, you know, we got this tape for something called Montauk, which at the time was Stranger Things, mm-hmm. which is the original title. And I really didn't want to do it. My dad was like, it's pretty cool. The sides are great. Like, you should just do it. And I was like, I don't want to do it. He was like, just do it. And I was like, I'm sick. Like, I'm not going to do it. And he said, well, we'll just do it from your bed. It's a self-tape. Who cares? So we did it. I was sick in bed. And then...
Was it for Mike?
For Mike. And then they were like, oh, they really like it. Do it again. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Okay. And then I did it again. And then they're like, they want to Skype with you. The Duffers want to Skype with you. I was like, okay. So they called me and they like heard that I liked movies. And so we just talked about movies and stuff, and then kind of at the end they were like, we want you to come to LA. And I was like, in my back of my mind, I'm like, all right, this is happening again. Like, do not get
fool me once.
Shame on you. Do not get attached to this. So but I was so happy. I was like, man, these guys are awesome. Like, at the very least I could just get to hang out with them.
And they're referencing cool movies, because they're like eight, people at have the seen time, Stranger Things,
right? Like, and they were like, you know, they were referencing like, oh, like we want some of it to kind of be like Evil Dead. And I just watched like Evil Dead and I was like, oh yeah, that's awesome. Have you guys seen the remake? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, I like it. And they're like, yeah.
That point, they're probably like, aside from being talented, he's just going to be easy to have around. Like, because you could talk shop with
him. Yeah, exactly. And they felt like I could keep up with them.
Yeah.
So I went and a lot of the kids they were auditioning were very like, they were all great actors, but they were very like kind of traditional, traditionally trained. A lot of them had been like actors since they were like babies.
Like Disney kids.
Like Disney kids and like totally trained. And like, I guess what I was told was I was like different, because like I had, you know, my
system.
Yeah, my teeth weren't straight. And like, you know,
I looked like a human.
And like, I would mess up my lines and I would like back up and I'd do it again. And, you know, it's like, so that to them was like a special thing, because they're like, oh, this feels like a real kid. So I did that. I did two chemistry reads and then I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear anything for like a whole summer. And I was like, well, it's over. Like, whatever. It's pretty cool. Hopefully they're still doing it, because it was a cool.
Right.
Cool thing. And
do you
then,
feel that way?
Totally.
Is that the Canadian in you going, boy, I wish them well? Because I would have been like, I hope this show fucking dies.
Thanks.
Montauk.
Well, see, now I get like that kind of like, if I now that I'm a little more jaded, I'm like, oh, now they deserve to bomb.
Yes,
like,
you know, avoid me, will
yeah,
you?
Yeah,
say
yeah,
no
yeah.
to me.
Have fun. I really liked the show.
Project.
And I was like, because I was, you know, they're like, we want to be the Goonies, and I read the script and I was like, this is totally like that. And so I thought it was really great. And and then I got a call from like Matt Duffer, and he was like, we're at the Atlanta airport. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you don't seem that excited that I'm calling you. And I was like, I just woke up, like it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was like, I don't know what's happening, like, how are you doing? And he was like, good. Like, we want you to be Mike on the show. And I was like, whoa. And he was like, yeah, you don't seem too excited about it. Because I was very, like, playing it cool. Like, whoa,
right.
That's crazy.
Hey, man. How are you?
Yeah, hey, how's it going? But I was just so tired. And I just couldn't really believe it. And he was like, yeah, we're going to start in Atlanta soon. So just wanted to let you know from me and Ross, we're really happy to start this with you. And then we did it. And it was like,
how long did it take to shoot?
6 months or five months.
5 months. Yeah, and where was it?
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta. The
still,
whole time.
Still in Atlanta.
Now, is Netflix even Netflix at this point? They had Orange is the New Black.
They had Orange is the New Black and they had House of Cards. House of Cards. It was like getting big.
Right.
But I mean, you know, we remembered just the first week, you know, like there's, I remember you, if you went on Netflix at the time, you could see like a preview image of like Stranger Things in the log line and right. It said coming, you know, like when the release date, we're on the website. Like, that's insane. We were all like freaking out that we were at the website.
Can
like,
you imagine how adorable. Thinking back to 4 years ago and going like, look, we're, yeah. They put a picture of our show up.
Yeah. We were
now
all
it's
so,
like, we own the network.
Yeah. So we were all just like, this is great. And then we finished the first season where we called
other kids in the cast.
What about them?
Had they, like, didn't...
Gaten.
Had experience. Like,
Gaten,
he was a
Broadway
kid.
Gaten was a Broadway
kid.
And so was Caleb. And Caleb was a Broadway kid. And Sadie, who they added on to season two, plays Max, was also a Broadway kid. And they're all very, like, well... and but also, like, really innocent, amazing kids.
So was it, like, when you jumped on set... Because this is essentially your first set, no?
Yeah. Well, like, yeah, professional set, yeah.
So, like, when you jump on set, like, was it all... You're a film kid,
yeah.
But is it like, hey man, your stand-in's gonna do? Did you have to learn everything, or did you like when you hit set where you're like, I know what you are, you do this. And
I
you do that.
I remember specifically, I said something to an AC assistant camera, and I didn't, you know, he did sticks, and that's really what you when you're a kid, when someone goes, hey Mark, and does that, that's what you think. That's all it is.
Yes.
And therefore their job, that's also what you think it is. They're just pressing sticks.
Right.
So I was just like, yeah, I was, and this just came from a complete sincerity. I was talking to him and I was like, I can't believe like all you do for your job is do sticks. Like, that's amazing. And all you do
fuck
is
fuck you,
yeah,
actor.
And, I know, for real. And I remember thinking the minute I said it, I was like, what an asshole thing I just said. And then the dude was like, yep. And I was like, so did you go to film school for it? And he was like, nope. And I was like, cool. And so
he's like, we got 5 more months.
Yeah,
of this
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I was just really excited and I became friends with everyone and yeah, they were really interested in like having me learn. So I'd stay after set and watch them shoot and they'd, tell me what the difference was between different stuff and different lenses. And
are you the only Canadian kid in the cast?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any preferential or special treatment for you being the Canadian kid?
No. Everyone was the same.
Really?
Everyone.
Across the boards? Nobody was like, wow, well, fucking.
He's Canadian.
Finn came
so
from Canada. We got to be nice
yeah,
to him.
Like, he doesn't, yeah. Yeah, they're like, Finn, this is a telephone. I don't know what you guys use there, but.
I think the ones in your country have cords,
yeah, cords
on them.
Yeah, cords and they go up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it was a really special thing, and all those kids just became my best friends because it's like, who else? You're all in this crazy thing together. It's everyone's first big thing, and you're like all just basically linking arms the whole time. And it's still like that. I mean, like, we're really the...
You guys
because,
have bonded as
well,
a family
exactly,
at this
like,
point.
Like, we're the only people that have experienced it, so...
You're like you are honestly, and this is no exaggeration, you... are bound together like a Stanley Cup winning hockey team. No matter where you go in life, it's
you'll
like,
have that ring.
We've walked together and walked as champions and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
And it continues to go on and on. And something tells me that even if one day they're like, ah, fuck it, we're done.
Right.
For like 2 years or 5 years. Then, you know, we live in the culture where they're like, oh my God, come back at age 30.
Right.
Let's do
well,
all
that's
this
that's that. And also the other thing is like, Comic-Cons are giant.
Yes.
Comic-Cons are huge. And yeah. I remember Sean Astin told me, was like, yeah, it's never really over. You guys, you kind of see each other every like year or a few years at
because
a
of that world.
Like, and that's just like, he's like, well, it's also, when you're on a set, it's such a small, even though there's like thousands, you know, bunch of movies and TV shows being made, like, it's still such a small world.
Right.
So you kind of, you're like,
run into
when you're
cats.
Saying, well, because also when I'm, that's also, you know, I don't want to be a dick, but like when I'm on set and I see like an actor crying because it's over, I'm always just like, this isn't goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, we're literally seeing each other. Not only, I mean, probably going to see each other in the next 6 months.
Yes. I mean, then we'll see each other on tour.
Yeah, dude, we have press in like 3 months.
This ain't the last time.
But it was really special, and it still is really, really, really special. And I still love doing it. It's great.
When did it happen in regards to Stranger Things?
Right after I finished Stranger Things, the first one.
So it hadn't even aired yet?
No. And they were like, so they have a new director for it, and it's coming, Andy Muschietti.
Muschietti. Is that his name?
Yeah,
Muschietti.
I guess Muschietti.
Muschietti.
Yes, Spaghetti.
And so at that point, who was it? Was it Warner Brothers going, we saw a kid that we liked?
No, it was my agents going, they're doing it again. You want to, we'll get you another tape. And they didn't know anything about me.
And so you just had to go in cold
and do it again.
Over.
Yeah, and I didn't tell any of the kids I was auditioning with that I did it again. I already knew the character so well, so I think I had a little bit of an advantage.
An edge. Hell yeah.
So I went in and did it, and like it was pretty immediate. And also immediate when I met this kid. Jack Dylan Grazer is the other kid, and he plays the kid with the inhaler, Eddie.
Right.
Who's like become one of my best friends. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met. And immediately we were talking about something. We were talking about a movie he did, and we were talking about some old classic actor. And he was also like a weird film buff and loves like weird 70s movies because of his dad. And
why because of his dad?
Because his dad's like a filmmaker. His uncle's Brian Grazer.
He's like,
he's great. And his uncle's Brian Grazer.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, who's Ron Howard's.
The Imagine guy, yeah.
Yeah, so he kind of just knew that era. And I remember we were talking about some old actress or actor, and I'll tell you who it was after, but he was like, I met so-and-so. I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. How was he? He was like, he was an asshole. And I remember hearing that and being like, this is the best kid I've ever met.
He's honest.
And so we went and did the audition together, and it was like, everyone was just, it was one of those things. It's like, it was like we struck gold. Like everyone just like immediately became best friends.
Do you know how rare it is?
It's ridiculous.
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about in like this century that you got to do back-to-back projects where kids ride bikes.
Yeah. Just ride them.
That doesn't even exist anymore,
and not
man.
Ubers.
No. Like you watch any TV show or movie, you never see kids riding a bike, and you went from one
to
another. Was that like, do kids, you're a kid, or you were a kid a minute ago. Do kids even ride bikes anymore?
Yeah. I mean,
did you have to learn to ride a bike for these shows?
Kids, no. I'm not, it's not like that. It's not like we don't, what's this?
Yeah, two how does wheels. This work? What, yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah,
how do I call this?
Yeah.
Where's the app?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, you wound up getting cast in It.
Back again.
Then Stranger Things airs.
Like a month into shooting It. And so it's happened.
So then people must be like, oh my God,
like,
we're so fucking lucky.
Well, then they're like, whoa, this is crazy. And the first time I ever got recognized was like, we were walking in a sports bar in Toronto, and it was me and Jack Grazer, same kid. And this girl came up to me and she said, I know you from somewhere. And I said, yeah, I was in the show. I just came out. And she was like, oh, it's my birthday. Can we take a picture? And I was like, yeah, so happy. And then Jack looked at me and was like, that was the first time, wasn't it? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, do you know how many more times this is going to happen? And I was like, no. And then from then on, it was just like, hey, you're that kid. Hey, you're that kid. And I was like, whoa, this is
probably
crazy.
A million times by now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow, how sweet that you remember the first, though.
Isn't that amazing?
That's good. Hold on to that. A lot of people, you know, just be like, oh, it happens all the time. And it will. The kid was right. But like that you remember the first one. Where were you in Toronto?
I was right by the Air Canada Stadium, like, you know, where the Raptors play.
Yeah.
It's like at the, with the, I don't know. Yeah, it's right.
Is that
right
where you guys shot It?
Yeah, in Toronto. At the
all that like farmhouse shit or that small town?
That was like nowhere, like, you know, buttfuck nowhere.
Is that right?
In
Ontario.
In Ontario.
So, and then Jason took you to buttfuck nowhere.
In Calgary.
In Calgary.
Right. Right, yeah.
And then and again.
Do
you got bikes in that thing too?
No. This is
you're
a,
like, look, bro.
No, I'm out
I
of
ain't
there.
Doing bikes yeah, anymore. Yeah. I'm done with bikes.
Getting typecast to bikes.
It needs a motor.
Yeah, it needs a motor. Well, we do have a motor.
I saw that. Good Lord. Yeah, that trailer
a big motor.
Made it
huge.
Oh, I mean, that trailer hits. The Ghostbusters trailer hits so hard in all the right places.
Have you seen anything?
Any of the footage?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But he came over right before he went to shoot the teaser. And this is going back like...
Oh, wow. Yeah. So like front runner days.
So he goes, he came over and did the show here and we were bullshitting. And right, I think it was right before we went, before we went on
mic. He was telling you about it.
Yeah. He was just like, I'm going up to shoot a trailer for this movie. And I think you might enjoy it. It's Ghostbusters. And I was like, what? And this was something that for years he was always like, you know,
hands off.
Yeah, he's built his own fucking thing, and he's like Academy Award nominated.
It came very, I think, natural. I think
he came by it honestly. Number one, he didn't do it first out. He didn't do it second out. He didn't do it for years. He's had a long, illustrious career. So for him to suddenly be like,
now
I'm comfortable enough as a filmmaker to like handle this just because my dad did it. Like that makes it even sweeter now and stuff like that. The sequences that we saw of like
the trailer,
yes, in the trailer of you guys in Ecto,
yeah,
like is that
real? Are we driving?
Or do you, yeah,
that stuff in the I mean, I won't give too much.
I know I sound like it's such a
No.
should know as a filmmaker.
No.
I'm like, of course,
well,
we had
I did like a bunch of driving rehearsal because my character, I guess, drives it,
right?
You know, a bunch, and So,
you don't even have your license.
No, but the minute I got on set, they're like, you are not allowed to move your foot onto the pedal, let alone do not touch it. Like,
you can act,
you
can't drive.
Do not drive it. I mean, and I was like, fair enough. This thing is, I mean, and also that thing. So what's amazing about it is they had two of those.
Two Ectos.
And they're these old Cadillacs. And I mean, they're like, there's only a few left in the world. And so they just built them. I mean, they had shells that they just built from the ground up, and they, because I mean, the scenes call for fast driving, like you saw in the trailer.
Yeah.
It's like chases. We couldn't just like have the original engine in it, or else it would explode. Essentially,
right.
So they figured out how to put a Corvette engine into an Ecto.
That reminds me of like in the comics.
Ridiculous.
When I was a kid, the Question. He took a Porsche chassis and put a Volkswagen shell on top of it. So it was supercharged,
and could
go
huge.
Did they use Russian arm and stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
So that is that car just driving. And
it's a for real driving. Like, there's hardly any green. I mean, that's also what's amazing about Jason is that, you know, Jason said in interviews too, it's like there's a lot of practical effects,
right?
And a lot of the effects that you think would be CGI are not, which like I was so happy to be part of. And Jason and I became, you know, really good friends.
He's such a good dude. So were you, I mean, to say like, were you familiar with the movie? But you must have.
Oh, totally. Yeah, it was
like, it's a
fan.
Totally, it's a kid's movie, even though it came out when it came out.
Totally.
That movie works almost
and
forever.
And also Ivan Reitman's movies, his dad, I mean, like, they're just time. I mean, yeah. Stripes is still so funny.
Still works.
And,
oh my God. Look at you.
Yeah.
Tagging up on Stripes. Well done.
And well, also, dude, Meatballs is also,
I love Meatballs.
A
that comes right from the heart of Canada.
And made
highest
for, like,
grossing.
No money.
Until Porky's.
It
was
made. It was made for like $2 million,
and they made
like
a bunch of
insane
money.
Yeah, and also little fun fact: my Uncle Hadley is in Meatballs as one of the kids.
Which one?
He puts it. Well, he has two big moments in the movie. One, this kid has a frog.
Yeah,
and he says, "I think he's just sleeping," and he goes, "Nah, that thing's dead."
Yeah,
that's my uncle.
Are you kidding
and
me?
And then he also puts a fish down the girl's bathing suit. In the swim scene.
So he worked with Ivan Reitman.
Yeah. And I remember the first time I met Ivan, I was like, hey, my uncle did, he was one of the kids in Meatballs. He was like, well, I probably wouldn't have remembered him, but that's great. And I was like, he was like, what scene was it? And I was like, oh, he did the frog thing. You know, I told him the same story and he went, oh yeah, that kid was great. He delivered that perfectly. And I was like, yeah.
Look
so
at
weird.
That, man. A generation later, blah.
Yeah, yeah. That's how it goes.
What did because I know like you can't talk about it, but
no.
Based on the trailer we saw,
sure.
I get the distinct impression that there's a whole lot of movie that they're not even talking about.
Yeah,
yet.
No, there's. I mean, I think that's the point too.
Yeah,
to make it.
It's really a teaser. And
it's
I
a
think,
very surface level. I mean, there's a lot of it's a footage, but it's like, there's footage, but it's like, you know,
right.
You have not seen the big stuff yet.
How excited were you? You didn't have to go on tape for that. That was like, we want him.
No, I went on tape for
it.
Are
you shitting
me? Yeah, so the thing is like, I dressed up in the Ghostbusters in season two of Stranger Things.
That's why we all thought it was just like, they probably just called you.
Well, no, because I did it and I was like, okay, they're going to hate me because I already did it. And it's like, why would they want to audition a kid who already like just...
repopularized?
Right. Well, I don't know.
The thing that they're sequelizing?
In my mind,
made it
like,
hip again? Yeah. They're like, why would we call that kid?
Well, I had, you know, my agent.
I'm sure on some level,
they might.
Finn, that image made somebody go,
I gotta ask
should
Jason.
Try Ghostbusters
I don't know.
Again.
I gotta ask him if that was. But I went as, you know, I did this tape and then he saw it and I just was like, well, I'll do best I can. And he was like, he really... really likes it. And I was like, great. And they're like, well, we're going to do a table read for it at Jason's house because he does that a lot.
And yeah. Even Jason, for those that don't live out here in Los Angeles, Jason's very known from the work he's made and the movies he's made, which are wonderful. Jason does these incredible readings.
Live
readings of scripts where he just pulls together the most incredible talent in this town.
I don't know where he goes. I don't know where
Largo,
he goes.
Largo or sometimes UCB. Yes. I remember he did it there once.
He'll get a bunch, you know, he'll get like Olivia Wilde. He'll get so many different people to read like Goodfellas and like he'll table read them in front of an audience. And
I think, what's her name?
Dunham?
No, the girl who was in... I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said Lena. She was... she played Kitty Pryde, but she was in his movie, Juno. Juno.
Oh,
herself.
Of course. Yeah. Ellen. Oh, Ellen. Ellen Page. Yeah.
She,
wonderful.
I think, did Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And I think she was Luke for one of the readings.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. She would, yeah,
he does
perfect.
Mix and matches like that.
Sure.
So he's way into that. Not just his, never no. his stuff. Always.
It's
more
always different
screenplays.
Stuff. Yeah. He loves doing, I mean, he's one of those guys who just like loves game nights. Like he has these famous game nights, you know, where random people, it's like such a weird LA thing.
Right.
Cause he's an LA kid and, he's grown up around a bunch of different huge people and
got a good head and a good heart.
Yeah, he's got an amazing heart. I mean, you could see it through the movies he's made.
Yes,
just
very
like,
much.
Very
so.
Pure.
He's
a very pure,
very pure person. And they're movies that ask questions and seek something. They're not just I want your money. They're about something a little bit deeper. But this one
is also one of those. I mean, like you could see like big things, but it's also like, you know, the movie's about like a lot of it's about loss.
Right.
So,
who are the other kids? Who is the? I'm not. There's a girl who looks like she could be related to Egon. Who's that?
Right. So she, that's McKenna Grace, who's been in so many things. She's like one of those girls that's little girls who's just been in everything. And she's so much, she's amazing. She's like one of the most amazing little, she's so sensitive. She's brilliant. And she plays my little sister in that movie. And Carrie Coon, the great Carrie Coon, is an incredible, incredible actress, plays my mom. And there's a kid named Logan Kim who you'll know to find out who he is because he's never done anything.
He's new you, next you.
Well, he had never been on a set before.
So then he's new you, next you.
Right. But he'd also never done like a commercial. He had never done like a music video. He was like fresh out of...
completely clean.
Did nothing.
Where'd
like
they find
an acting... like he was not an acting class and it was like an open casting call because Jason really wanted a kid, you know, same thing. And he really wanted a pure kid that wasn't...
Canadian kid?
No, he's a Texas kid.
Really?
But still, the same kind of like...
well, if you bring him up to Calgary, same deal.
Right, exactly. The prairie kid, the southern kid. So, and that kid is just... I could not... he was the most mind-blowing. He walked on the set. He walked around just like...
how old?
I've done this... 12. He walked around, I've done this 1,000 times, you know, just
even
like,
though he'd never done it once.
Never done it once. Just the most, like, incredible... I mean, so otherworldly.
How long did you guys spend there?
I was three and a half months in Calgary. I don't know if you've been in Calgary before.
Many times.
Yeah.
I love...
the Rockies.
I love Edmonton and Calgary. Oh, yeah. I go back and forth. We're actually going up there this month.
For a show?
Reboot tour. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Two shows in Calgary, two shows in Edmonton. Did you work with Rudd?
Yeah.
How funny is he in real life?
He's
I met
man.
Him years ago. He's such a nice guy.
He's the also one of those guys, like the purest, one of the purest dudes who still just loves...
He
loves having a good time and also just like loves comedy. Like he just is there to make people laugh. Like that's why he does it. And like that dude just makes me, and he's also one of my favorite. I mean like Wet Hot American Summer and like all those movies, they're just, you know, And he's a ageless. Legend.
He's fucking Dorian Gray, that guy as well.
That, yeah, that dude old. Never. That well, that's a it's a meme, but it's true. The dude is like yeah, never.
He kind of looks
ageless.
Like he was in Clueless still,
and kind of look. Still kind of 12.
Yeah. yeah. At heart,
you know,
this business will do that. It'll keep you
a
young,
lot of
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So wait, when I remember when I saw that trailer, I was so happy that he took it. You know, most of us know Ghostbusters from New York City and like
sure. set.
He took it out into the fields and yeah. prairies.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, it for some reason, I found that very appealing. And what I get from the trailer, I see how it all ties together and stuff like that. But like taking it into a big open space and putting it mm-hmm. into any town USA is kind yeah. of smart and
yeah.
fun. And
lasts for a lot of freedom.
Yeah, as well. All right, let's talk about The Turning. When did
oh, yeah.
this happen?
Turning happened, I think is post season 2 of Stranger Things, and I got this really cool.
And at this point, you're now this you didn't audition
this,
for.
This was the first movie that I didn't audition.
They were
audition
like, we
for.
Want
yeah,
you.
Yeah, this was like the first movie in where I was like actually, you know, like there was no audition. It was like that's really cool.
Right, right.
And this amazing director Floria Sigismundi, who's like done. She did, like, The Runaways.
She did The Runaways.
Yeah.
That was the first R-rated movie I took my kid to go
no
see.
No way.
In Times Square when it was out. It was a lovely movie. She did a great job.
Yeah.
So
she directed this movie.
And it's based on Turn of the Screw.
Yes. Yeah. And so, yeah, this old novella. And so it was one of those things. I went to weird dinner with her, or lunch with her, and she showed me this lookbook of, like, what she wanted it to look like, and she totally got it. And
is that the first time you ever seen a lookbook before?
I'd seen lookbooks before, but like Stranger Things is an amazing like lookbook that they did, and
they
did a trailer, fake trailer
shit?
Too. Yeah,
oh,
they
one
cut
of those
themselves.
Like sizzle reels
yeah,
they
yeah,
put
yeah.
together based on other stuff.
Yeah, like footage from E.T. and all the stuff. Right, but yeah, she just was like, yeah, and we want to shoot in Ireland, and that's it. And I was like,
they shot in Ireland?
Yeah, we shot in Ireland.
And what is it? Haunted house? No, what is
kind of? It's like it's very like on the line of. Is this, you know, Mackenzie Davis, this who's amazing, plays our governess, who's like kind of the babysitter. And
she was, is that the lady she was in Terminator?
Yeah, she was in Terminator
yeah,
and
she's like
Home Catch
of,
Fire and
yeah, yeah,
all that
yeah.
stuff. She's great. And,
she
was also
in
Jason's
in...
movie.
What?
This movie, one called Tully, who's with Charlize Theron. And
yes,
like
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah
yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she's amazing. Mm. And so she comes in and really weird things start happening to her in the house and you don't really know if it's happening to her, you know, if she's imagining it or if it's all like
period or current.
It's well, it's set in the 90s. It's like well, they
period.
Don't they also don't ever say that it's the 90s either. It's just kind of like, you know, technically period. Yeah,
all right.
You know, there's a lot of great, it's a great soundtrack. They have like some great 90s music in it.
So wait, you got on season 2 or after season 2?
After season 2.
So when did you shoot this? Like last year?
No, I shot this like 2 years ago now. And yeah, we were in the middle of like nowhere in Ireland for like 3 months. And this little girl, not so little anymore, she's 9 now, who her name is Brooklyn Prince. Did you ever see The Florida Project?
Yes!
She's the little girl in that movie.
She's amazing.
She's incredible. And
so she's in...
She's my little sister in that movie.
Now when I saw Florida Project, which is, if you haven't seen it, like
yeah,
that
it's
was
a must
my favorite
see, for
movie
sure.
that year. It's incredible.
Oh, we got to talk about favorite movies this year too.
Done and done.
Later, yeah.
She occurs as credibly natural. And then you read about the process of making that movie and he had a delicate hand. It barely is no writing. It's more just recording
kind
what
of,
they
yeah.
said and then
yeah.
shaping a story around it. How did she do with, here's a script?
Well, that was the first movie that she had
yeah.
where she, like, we had to sit her down and kind of, and that's, she adapted to it so, I don't know how a 7-year-old could have adapted to that better. Like, she, it took some getting used to for her, for sure, but, like, you know, she went from a summer just eating ice cream and running around and screaming to, you're going to sit down in this period, big house, and you're going to be quiet, and you have to play this character. She's not a lot like you, but this is, like, what acting is. And she
right.
kind of...
cognized it.
Yeah, and just kind of slowly, you know, got it. And so that was amazing to look at. And I remember she told me she was... She's also one of those kids that has that drive. She
right.
was like, I want to... She's like, isn't A24 the best one time? And I was like... Yeah, they're kind of the best, man. They did Tusk, right?
They did Tusk, yeah.
I was like, yeah, man, they're kind of the best. They make the best stuff right now. And she was like, yeah, I have a, I, I want to pitch them something. And I remember just being like, dude.
You're getting younger and younger.
Yeah, I was like, Jesus, you want to pitch something? Like, even me, I was like, whoa. She told me this giant, elaborate idea. And it was the most insane thing. And I was just like, this is pretty great.
You were like, so I went and pitched at Warner Brothers and set it up behind her back.
Yeah. Behind her back, and now she's getting no money for it.
When you work on an Amblin movie,
yeah.
Do you eventually meet Mr. Amblin?
Mr. Spielberg himself? Yeah. Funnily enough, I didn't, but he did a lot of notes on the script, and he was vital during it.
During the process.
We got a bunch of Amblin people that came over to set, but he didn't ever make it out. But I know he likes the movie a lot. I have met him. That's not true. When I was 7 years old, I was in Larchmont Village in Los Angeles because my uncle lived there.
Right.
And he walked by with his granddaughters, and I ran up behind him, and it was like right after Munich.
Right.
And so he thought he was going to die all the time. And so, and I was running behind him. And all I could hear was like, so it's like when you hear running, it's not, you know, it's
the last thing you expect is a 7-year-old. Right. And I'm a huge fan of Munich.
Yeah. Munich was huge for me. He just looked down and I just looked at him and I ran back. So there was no words exchanged, but technically I did see him.
You did.
That was
a face-to-face encounter.
It's a face-to-face encounter, and that's how I'll remember him, is the scared face.
The terror of
looking down, yeah, and realizing. But, yeah, I mean, that was...
When's that come out? January?
I think, yeah.
Did I see you're going to Sundance as well?
No, I had a... I was in a short film that makes up... Like, it's an anthology movie.
Right.
That I'm in. With, I don't know if you know, like, Adam Pally.
Yeah, of course I know him.
Yeah, Pally.
I mean, I know his work, but I know him a little bit.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's
So I did that with
him.
He's
one of the stormtroopers, I believe.
He is. He punches Baby Yoda. I was watching
him. He's
the
one that doesn't want to punch Baby Yoda first, but then resorts after
biting.
Yes.
No, I remember going, oh, that sounds like, it sounds familiar. It sounds like, I was like, I know that's Jason Sudeikis, but that's a very familiar
voice.
And I go online, sure enough, I text Pally and I'm like, dude, how did you scam that gig?
Where'd he get it?
He never answered me. I mean, he did answer me, but like he was like,
people who know people things.
Yeah, he's very like in the he knows everyone. Kinda.
Yeah.
But he's brilliant. And we did that together in Miami on like random weekend, and it was really fun. So I got that. That's coming out. I don't know if it's like a wide release. I don't think there's a wide release yet. I mean, I think that's why it's going to Sundance.
Right. They'll figure out what they're going to do after that.
Which is also what
happens
you did for Clerks,
later
right?
in the year. What's that? Yes, we went to Clerks. We're into Sundance with Clerks.
Did you also? Did you have any other movies where you had to do that for distribution? Or was that kind of like, it was like one and done kind of? Because you had a deal after
we
that.
We went up with no distribution. Then the next time I went up, let me see, it was Chasing Amy already had distribution. One time we went up with this movie, Red State, and I was like, I'm going to auction it in the room. And then I was like, fuck you, we bought it. And unnecessarily.
Who put it out?
We did. We released ourselves. That's when we started
Red State
stuff.
Red State is very underrated. And it has Michael...
Parks.
Michael Parks and also the kid in it.
Michael Angarano.
He is one of my favorite.
Isn't he wonderful?
He's so...
And a cast of kids, man. Kyle was wonderful.
Yeah.
And Nick, who blew up with... Succession. Nick
Bones. Oh, man. Yeah. I haven't
Cousin
seen Succession
Greg
yet.
Succession,
I heard it's amazing.
He's so fun in it.
But he
was in the.
I sat in front of, on the way back from Calgary, because Michael did a cameo on another show called The Teacher, which is shooting in FX, for FX, which was in. And I just turned around and it was like 5 in the morning. It was so. I didn't know if I. I turned around and I was like, whoa. That's. And I totally fangirled. I was like, holy shit. And we got up and I didn't say anything to him right when we, you know, went kind of the slow taxi. And like it stops and the seatbelt sign comes off and I was like, I'm a big fan, by the way. And he was like, oh, thanks.
That's gotta be nice to hear too.
And he's also in one of the best kids films, Sky High. I don't know
Sky
if
High. Sky so High is Nick Braun's in that as well.
One of the best.
As is
oh my god, Nick Braun's dude, Nick, he's the best, man.
He's fantastic.
I couldn't he
In our movie he played Billy Ray, and he was like, I remember him coming in and being like, I want to wear this thing. I don't know if you've ever, it's like long hair, but like it's all tied up, but it's like as if I have my head shaved. And I'm like, do you mean a rat tail?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what
tail.
That is? I was like, yeah.
That's perfect.
He's lovely. And also Danielle Panabaker was in that movie as well. And she's, I've worked with her on Flash all the time.
Oh, right. I love
Sky High. Sky High is an amazing
Sky High is amazing. And that's
Oh my God, that's right. I took my kid to see Sky High. So you'd be right in the same.
That's the same. Yeah, that's my parents took me to see that movie. But that.
You just did a voice in a kid's movie. You did Adam's Family?
I did Adam's Family.
How long did it take?
That took a really, really long time. Really? It took, well, because you kind of keep, when you're filming an animated movie, you kind of have to keep coming in. Because as they're animating it, they're kind of like, oh, that doesn't really go well with, and they kind of keep rewriting it. So you have to go in and do revisions. And it was really fun, but like, you know, it was like a, you know, a really long time. It was like 6 months.
And that you keep coming back in.
And I'm like, well, I was like, man, that was a really hard session today. I'm so glad that's over. And then it's like 3 months later, they're like, you're coming back. And I'm like, is it the same thing? And they're like, yeah, we just got to polish it up. And I was like, well, that's how it goes. But but it was fun. It was so fun. And it was cool. I got
to. Did they have you find a voice? Or did you just do
I kind of just did my own voice and figured out, like, because that character is so chaotic, as Pugsley is. So I just kind of had to scream for a while. And it was so fun. And I'm glad that they. That was also a movie I didn't have to audition for. They were like, hey.
We want you.
Yeah, and I was like, of course I'll do it. So that was amazing. Wait, come to... You've never done an animated movie, have you?
We did Clerks cartoon years ago on ABC. Jay and Silent Bob, super groovy cartoon movie years ago.
Oh, right.
Cheap cartoon movie. But right now we're working on Masters of the Universe for Netflix.
Wow. So, like as in...
Like, we're doing a reboot. Not even a reboot. It's actually technically not true. It is a sequel series. Essentially picks up where the old stuff left off.
Like, Masters of the Universe, like...
He-Man, of course.
Yeah.
Which is probably way... It's, like, power. Literally 10 years before your time.
Yeah. Is that live action or animated? It's animated?
Animated. But they're talking about... There's a movie that they're putting together as well.
Wasn't there a... Like, going off of Clerks spin... Like, wasn't there a... Like, a weird... Like a sitcom for Clerks?
There was a pilot. So they made a Clerks TV pilot back in 1995.
I don't know how that would work.
I don't either. Well, now today it'd be easy, but back then.
Well, like, if you're on, well, because you're on cable TV, you can't say anything that you in your movie. You know, you can't do the 36 blowjob joke.
It would have. Well, I think what they reacted to.
It's 37.
Exactly. I don't know if you still can do that on TV, but they. I think what they reacted to is like, oh, it's a workplace comedy. Like, it's people.
Yeah, sure.
Like, it's like
it's easy.
Alice. Or,
sure.
So they were like, it should be able to plug into here.
How great is Alice Doesn't Live Anymore?
Doesn't
live here anymore.
What?
That's one of my favorite films of all time. And I just found out the other day that it was a sitcom.
What? Who's, like,
my
what?
Mom.
What old soul did you swallow
apparently
at
my
age
mom's,
six?
My mom was like,
you
should watch
ate the old soul of some, like, some art critic.
No, I love that movie.
It's a wonderful movie.
And
Martin Scorsese, nobody ever talks about it.
They
always talk about the mafia movies.
If I ever meet him, I'm going to tell him that that's probably my favorite movie.
Ellen Burstyn is amazing in it.
She's amazing, and the kid's really funny in it. And Jodie Foster's in it, too, as a young
and woman. And Polly Holiday, who played Flo in the series, is also Flo. No, that was Diane. It's one of them. Vic Tayback,
sure.
I think, goes over. Because it was Diane Carroll who played? I forget.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But yes, an amazing movie. My God. All right, so that's Finn's year, man. You can go see him in
Turning.
Ghostbusters is what, the summer?
Yeah, it's July, I think. Cause
July.
It's right now.
It's going to be massive.
Hopefully.
You could go, Stranger Things 4 is happening, but you haven't started shooting that yet.
No, we start in, we start the summer, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Do you look forward to like, yay, let's see where it goes? Do you have any idea each time?
That's the thing is that everyone's like, in interviews, they're like, what can you tell us? And I'm like,
literally
honestly,
nothing.
Yeah. Like, because they write it as we shoot. So, you know, the Duffers will go back and write it and keep going. But, yeah, you could catch me on that.
And then when are you, we didn't talk about the band. So you left.
Right.
Or you finished.
We finished Calpurnia.
And what is it called now?
I have a band called the Aubreys. It's just really small. And, we kind of wanted to go more independent route with it.
Nice.
Just kind of release music when we wanted. And
have you released anything yet?
Not yet. There's stuff coming soon, so watch out for that, I guess. But
are any members of Calpurnia coming?
Yeah, the drummer of Calpurnia is me and him. We're like, it's our two piece kind of. But
is it really just a two piece?
Yeah, it's just two of us doing everything.
So he's a drummer and you're a guitarist.
Yeah, and well, I also like on the record I play like bass and we both play keys and a bunch of different stuff. But It's, well, music is always going to be fun, but it got to a point where, like, we had to tour, right. which is impossible for me because I can't just, like, book a show because I have to do
sometimes
someone
you're on
more.
A set for, like, 4 months.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't want to put you guys out for waiting around, so right. everyone should just do their own thing. So that's why we've kind of done this independent, more independent thing of doing kind of self-releasing and with a bunch of different people and just releasing music when we want to. But, yeah, so there's a few things. I'm directing my first thing soon, too.
The fuck? What?
I'm very excited. It's this, I wrote this short film. It's like 5 pages, and we're doing it in Vancouver at this convenience store.
What?
Yeah.
A convenience store?
I know.
Kid, I know a thing or
two about convenience stores.
How awesome. Now, wait a second. This is something you've been talking about doing since you were 8.
Yeah.
And you're now on the cusp of 18 or 17. It only took you 9 years to realize your dream. You're about to make your short film.
Yeah.
You had a bypass, a stopover, of becoming insanely internationally famous with a few things. But now you finally get to do the thing you wanted to do.
Yeah.
What? It's a 5-pager?
It's a 5-pager. It's a short thing. And,
are you doing it for yourself? Are you funding it? Are you...
So that was the thing is that, like, we realized so that was also going back to Jason Reitman is that we were talking about it and I was like, he was telling me, like, you got to do a short first because, you know, or just a really low budget thing. And so I would come up, you know, I just kind of figured out on set. I was like, okay, I need to come up with an idea. And so I would go up to Jason and kind of pitch him ideas and he'd be like, that's good. But I remember the first thing I pitched to him was like the most insane, like impossible thing to do as your first short film. I was like, I want to do one. It's a silent film and it's shot on like actually like I want to actually shot on like what they shot with Charlie Chaplin with him. And he's like, okay, so you want to do a short with something that doesn't exist, like
dead technology
that like will take so much money to do,
right?
And he basically told me, he was like, do 2 characters in a room talking to each other and have that
so
kind of
easy thing works.
Yeah. And then I kind of realized, I was like, well, okay. And so it's just about if you want to read it and give notes, that of course you would.
Five pages.
If you got the time,
that's a breeze, son.
Yeah,
5 pages in a convenience store. Story of my life. Yeah, it's gonna be the name of my biography.
5 pages, 100 pages in a convenience.
100 pages in a convenience. Where did you figure out how to find a place? You were like,
we just scouted. We went to like a bunch of different places in Vancouver.
And so, well, who's financing it?
So that's the thing. We were like, I wrote this thing thinking it was gonna be no money,
right?
And then I realized, fuck, this is a lot more money than I thought it was going to be. So, and I'd crowdfunded a thing before. I'd like co-directed a music video, which is like,
were people cool about the crowdfunding?
Oh, totally. Yeah. And well, that's the thing. I wouldn't have done it unless people didn't want. And that's also the other thing is like, I don't want to pressure anyone to, because I think a lot of people are like, well, you could just fund it yourself. And
but
it's
I could
like,
see in your case, like you're a kid, most people would be like, oh my God, like create, you know, he's not
right.
doing it to get rich. He's doing it because he wants to make art and stuff.
Right. And
but
it's, well,
I don't
also,
think
you know,
it comes off untoward is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I think most people
it was
like,
a very,
support that.
Yeah, it was a very like, if you want to support it, for sure. If you don't, it's whatever. But
and I'm sure you gave it the like undersell like that.
Well, yeah.
If you want to support it, great. If
well,
not,
no, but I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, not everyone has money.
It's
like,
true.
So
it's a weird. It's tough to figure out because you've seen people do crowdsource funding campaigns where it's like
you haven't done it yet, have you?
No, technically not. We got close with this thing we were doing called Hollyweed, but the company went
oh,
under.
Was that a web series?
It was a web series. Yeah,
did that
yeah.
come out?
It did not. We did one episode, and then this company we did it with, Rivet TV, we kind of went under. But so that was like people would have paid for it if the show like came into being or stuff. So it just wound up going away. But I at one point, we almost did it for Red State. And then I'd seen an article online because I talked about it. I was like, oh, we're going to do this. And this is before Kickstarter existed.
Sure.
Before Indiegogo. We'd built a website for it. And then somebody like shamed me out of it. They're like, yo, Kevin Smith's going to beg for money. And I was like, oh my God, is that how
yeah,
it works?
Yeah, no.
But that's me because I've been established. I've made a bunch of movies. But you being a kid, man, that's like so easy
yeah,
and
no.
so an awesome way to do it. All right, so wait, where'd the money come from for short?
Money was, yeah, crowdfunding from a bunch of different people.
From the short you're about to do?
Yeah.
So you raised a budget for it?
Yeah.
Fucking
so we're
A.
doing it. So
when does it begin?
It begins February, early February, and we're doing that. Hopefully... I mean, you know, I want to enter into festivals and stuff. And
are you excited?
Yeah. It's like all I've ever wanted to do.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, for all of the last 9 years.
Yeah.
Most people can like talk about waiting like, oh, for 50 years, I've always
wanted
to. You had 9 year old.
I had
That's
9.
That's not bad, dude. That's aggregating
yeah.
productivity on a regular basis. Well done.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk movies.
Sure.
What did you see this year that you like?
My favorite movie of the year is Uncut Gems.
Yes. I just watched 2 weeks ago, the Safdie Brothers. Safdie Brothers know how to make a movie that feels like you are
in the movie.
Yes. If they keep if one of their secret ingredients is a driving score that begins when the movie begins and doesn't end, there's no breaks. If you've noticed, it's like,
it's a visceral. Yeah, there's no other movie where it's like
you're in his head having the experience with,
and you're reacting, and also you're just like, your hands are on your head the entire time. Do not do that.
Yes.
Do not, whatever you're doing, do not do that. He does it. It's insane.
And then at the same time, you start rooting for him, and then, like, yeah, you know.
But then you're like, wait, he's gambling. Like, should I be rooting for him? And you're like, fuck it, I'm gonna.
And then it has a very killer ending and stuff where you're just like, oh people, man, don't do this anymore. This is wonderful. Yeah, I love that.
Well, that's what I think. It's like they are like the new Scorsese. You know, Scorsese. Like, you know, no one, or like Cassavetes. You know, like no one
really
makes.
Good Time?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I love Good
these
Time.
Cats are fantastic. And it's doing killer business, too.
I know. I was very happy. Yeah. I was very, very happy for them. Ooh, someone's getting a call.
Somebody trying to get in the house. All right, what's after that?
Jojo Rabbit was awesome. Taika Waititi.
Everybody loves him, yeah.
That was great. And there's a movie Jesse Eisenberg did called The Art of Self-Defense.
Yeah.
You
I see it all the time on iTunes. I haven't picked it up
yet.
Yeah,
you should. It's
him
great.
Holding a dachshund.
It's, yeah.
In a, with a fight.
Yes.
It's good?
It's so great. Yeah.
Who did it? Do you know?
No, I don't remember.
But worth watching.
But very worth watching. It's definitely the most underrated movie that came out last
year. Who are the actors, actresses that
it's,
you like?
It's,
that make you go like,
man. Well, just seeing Adam Sandler was incredible.
Right.
How a dude can do so many successful, crazy, big budget comedies and then just be like, okay, I'm going to do a Baumbach film, or I'm going to do a Safdie Brothers film, is so, like, so cool and bold. How you could just do that. You could slip. Whoa.
He'd been
you could
doing
just
it
slip out of it.
Since PTA, right? Since,
yeah, since Punch Drunk Love.
Punch Drunk Love with Paul Thomas Anderson.
So, yeah, he was great. And who else is there? I mean, obviously, Michael Angelino. Or is it Angelino?
Angarano,
yeah, sorry. I just love his stuff.
Where do the young kids sit on, like, the, like, the Leos of the world?
Oh yeah, well, Leo's amazing, obviously. Leo,
right?
Dude, Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
it's pretty wonderful.
Those two, and also your freaking daughter's was in it, man.
She was. It was
so,
kind of sweet. I was
so
on.
Cool.
It was wonderful. I was happy for her. She had a really good year. But I was on a plane like a month ago, 2 months ago, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was on the plane. I'd, you know, seen it.
Sure.
When it was out. But I was sitting there like, well, we got a 5-hour flight. Fuck it, I'll watch
it. Why not?
And there's a very surreal sensation to watching a movie on a plane that your kid
is in. Yeah. So,
and then it's
so
like,
weird.
Wait a second. It's like a Quentin movie. It was very, very cool.
That must have been kind of mind blowing.
It was. It was one of those. He was one of the filmmakers that like made me want to be a filmmaker. So to see her pop up in his flick was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Is it, you know,
to see Reservoir Dogs. I mean, I wish I could have seen. My dad was telling me about how, like, he was like, he saw, like, Reservoir Dogs at Vancouver International Film Festival, and there's, like, two people in the theater. And he said it was the most mind blowing thing he'd ever seen. And I was like, you're so lucky. But, you know, now we have stuff like Uncut Gems that's out, and you can see it for the first time. That's a movie that, you know, those kind of movies affect you, like, physically.
What else did you see? What have you seen that makes you go, oh man, that makes that, like, I would imagine the Safdie Brothers
even movies
makes you go like, I want to make a movie right now.
Oh yeah. Well, also, like, there's a movie that I've been meaning to watch that you've seen more times than any movie. What is it again? It's the, you've seen it like four, I've heard you talk about it in interviews before. It's like four, you've seen it like 400 times or something like
Avengers
that.
Avengers Infinity War? Because that's definitely
yeah.
one of them.
No,
let me
old
see, my
war...
top five old movies were Do the Right Thing, Last Temptation of Christ.
Keep going, sorry.
Man for All Seasons, Jaws.
I think it was JFK. I think it was Man for All Seasons.
Man for All Seasons is porn if you like dialogue.
Sure.
And if you like studied mannered performances, because they're all like, you know, English turn of the century,
yeah,
like King Henry and stuff like that.
Oh yeah,
but the
that's
dialogue
the one. Yeah, this
is
the
like
one.
Just fantastic. It was written by Thomas Bolton. Paul Scofield, who played Thomas More, is amazing. But there's a performance in the movie by Robert Shaw, who played Quint in Jaws.
Yeah. Oh man.
And he died, you know, in the '70s, so we didn't get. He's in a bunch of stuff. He was a playwright as well, but like, didn't get as much out of him as we, you know, you could have and stuff. But that performance in Jaws, of course, is indelible and everyone loves it. His performance as Henry VIII, and he's only in Man for All Seasons for about tops 10 minutes, is mind-bending.
Yeah.
It's like watching a tour de force. He was damn good. Whenever people ask me, like, who would you cast in a movie? I'm like, Robert Shaw and my father, because they come back from the grave. People are like, that's more
of them. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But still, what a weird cast it would
be. Yeah, I've been watching. I got the five films of Cassavetes for Christmas.
What does a 17-year-old make of Cassavetes in 2020?
He's like my favorite.
Oh, that makes my heart sore.
His movies still, I think they still, like, his first movie,
Killing of a Chinese Bookie?
Well, no, that movie's great too, but the...
Minnie and Moskowitz?
No, was it Faces?
Ah!
His first movie.
Well done.
Which was completely improvised, which was, like, unheard of at the time. You know, there are a lot of, you have a lot of filmmakers that do that now. And,
back then, no.
No, and people would be like, you know, people get really uncomfortable because, like, a lot of the dialogue was, like, cutting each other off and doing a bunch of stuff and like how real people talk. And you know, it's a short watch. It's like an hour and 20 minutes or something like that. And it holds up still so, and such amazing political commentary.
And this is a guy who was also doing mainstream film. Like he was
also in Rosemary's Baby. Yeah.
Like,
and
acting for
such
somebody
a great,
else.
Yeah. And also just made really also weird movie. You know, he did that movie Opening Night, which is like, you know,
his
also,
most mainstream movie, hands down, probably is Gloria,
which I haven't seen yet.
It had Jenna Rollins and his wife, of course.
Jenna Rollins.
And it was very much like a urban mob movie. And as much as she was an old mobster's moll who winds, it's Mandalorian. It's Lone Wolf and Cub. She winds up in the care of a child and, you know, it's her against the bad guys and stuff. And that most of his stuff was like Faces, and like everything else, more, you know, groundbreaking, whereas Gloria was like, oh, I recognize this.
And I love films like that, but I also love films that are like supreme. I don't know, like I love like Harmony Korine's films and still his films now. Like I love The Beach Bum.
All right. Did you like The Beach Bum?
I loved it, yeah.
So you were the one that went.
The one.
I was shocked that movie had such a hard time because he was coming off of the
Spring Breakers
and Matthew McConaughey for heaven's
sake. I think also because, I don't know what, the whole, maybe it's just the marketing of it, and maybe
that was
know.
A24 or was it Neon?
No, it was Neon. And A24 didn't have anything to do with it, so I don't know, but Neon does great stuff too.
What for a 17-year-old, what is A24 is kind of the new Miramax, I would imagine, right?
Totally. Like that was also, you know, when you did Clerks, Sundance, they bought Clerks, right?
They were the A24 people of their day.
Yeah. No, it's totally, that's exactly
it's
what
funny
it is.
That there's brand awareness that you like, that you, the little girl from Florida Project, are like, A24
is the best. Yeah. No, they have, I mean,
they've built a pretty strong brand, and they do that by putting out like incredible movie after incredible movie.
Right. And you also, they have such a good business model, I feel like, too, because they have some of these lower budget movies that are just like, they have a deal with DirecTV.
Yeah.
So sometimes they'll just slide a movie onto DirecTV and you're like,
where
did this come from?
How well versed you are.
Yeah. That's... Well, you're like, where did this come from? You know? And so they're doing it big. So I love, I'm like, I'm a big fanboy of them.
What is the movie you're most looking forward to this year?
Oh, that's coming out.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you see The Irishman?
Oh, no, not yet. Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Put aside some time.
Yeah.
A few weeks and watch it.
Yeah. I would have
did
liked
you
to see
Honey Boy.
Yeah. What'd I really liked it.
Here's what I love. Number one, I thought like, wow, it's bold and brave, and
that was the biggest thing.
Therapy as filmmaking, I'm always for.
And also, growing up as a child actor, you're like, it's a weird, it's a very niche.
Oh my god, yeah, that's right.
It's the most niche movie. Like it's also just so specific. It's him. So like, if you're not,
as you're watching it, you're like, that's Even Stevens.
Right. Well,
that's
exactly.
That's this.
Right.
What I also appreciated about it, aside from how studied and wonderful it was, 90 minutes.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
You can make a movie.
Because at a certain point, if you watched another half hour of that kid getting mistreated by his dad, you'd be like,
okay.
Yeah, I get it.
That's enough.
But 90 minutes, I was like, oh, and he learned? Good.
Exactly. It's kind of a perfect in and out. But
look at you, man. About to direct this year. about to do more acting this year, about to do more music, man. You're living the damn dream, kid.
Yeah, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't love it.
You do enjoy it. And you're good at it, too. There's a natural aptitude for it.
Yeah. And then we have to do something one day together. That's the that's the
we
goal.
Will. I'm making a high school thing next. I'm making Mallrats a sequel, Mallrats sequel. So maybe that's where.
Oh yeah, I can last use a high is school Clerks 3 kid. Is happening now.
That's also happening as well. So I'm gonna do Clerks 3 and Mallrats, and the movie's called Twilight of the Mallrats.
Are they? And that's are the Clerks 3 have funding yet? Kind of.
Yeah, in theory, after reboot, everything got way easier. People like, oh, he's trustworthy.
Right.
And yeah. So he's not crazy anymore. So it looks like there's a clear path for both of them.
Is that I rewatched Clerks 2 the other day and I was like, man,
I love that
the
movie.
Kid who I think it might be one of your best. I mean,
I'm with you. I believe
it's
me.
It's so good, man.
It's and that's that a kid could dig it is weird to me because that's a middle age movie to me. It's a movie about like, you know, hitting.
Well, it's like a coming of age movie for a middle aged person.
I guess you're very. Oh yeah. My god, so well put.
Well,
that's
I just
so smart. It's
well,
true.
The
coming
well, the
of age movie for a middle aged person. I'm literally going to use that for Mallrats. That's my formula.
Sweet, good. Okay, high five.
We're high five, and you can't see it.
Is the kid who played Elias.
Trevor Furman. Amazing.
Is he
He's
acting?
A game developer.
He's
Zach Morris. He's got a huge part in Clerks 3.
Okay, good. I got so sad when I saw his IMDb and he didn't do anything else after. I was like, man, this dude is the funniest, most like natural. Because you also rehearse your movies like plays. Like, how could he have just come in and rehearse and
he
do all that
He found
that
character and he found it by making every line of dialogue end with a question mark.
Yeah,
so he's so uncertain of himself that he always ends up here. If you want to see like range too, like he was in, I stole him from Jeff Anderson. Jeff Anderson put him in a movie called Now You Know, and he plays a completely different character than Elias. Not even like, oh, he does the same thing. But he spent a little time doing it, but he was like, you know, I'm not into like beating down doors, and he's had a life to live.
And Anderson's coming back.
Jeff is coming back for Clerks 3.
And he's kind of the catalyst of like.
He is. It's all about him. It's basically he has a heart attack in the opening scene.
Oh,
and then
man.
He's just like, I almost died last night and I have nothing to show for my life. Like, I didn't even get
reminds
married
me of
like
some,
you or have a kid.
Reminds me of someone.
Jeff said, he goes, where'd you get that idea?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know. So then Randall's just like, you know what? I'm going to make a movie about my life.
What got him back was the idea, was the concept, kind of?
That, and also, like, I talked about, like, I'd seen Michelle Williams give, like, this speech when she won, I guess it was a Golden Globe or an Emmy or something? Where she was talking about, like, you know, she was equally paid to her co-star, which was Sam Rockwell, and because of that, it allowed her to focus on the work, and because of that, she just won an award. So she's like, look, pay people equally. And that was like, it wasn't a pay people equally thing about Clerks, but it was like we were going low budget. And he was just like, why do we always have to sacrifice to make the movie? Somebody makes millions and it's never us. Like, shouldn't we?
This is the third time
we're doing it. Shouldn't we get paid? And so that was the beginning of the end and kind of fell apart. So then I talked to him about it fairly recently and I was like, you're absolutely right. I watched your speech, man. I was like, I want you to come set every day and feel like this is great. Like, I don't want you to come to set and feel like you're doing me a favor or that you've been dragged into this. I want you to be like, I'm comfortably paid. So now I'm just going to have the time of my life because then we'll get great work out of it. Mm-hmm. So he was like, let's do it. So yeah,
I'm so
this
happy
is the
to hear
year,
it, man. I'm, if you ever need a PA.
You know who did that in real life was Eric Stoltz.
Oh, man.
He used to PA for Cameron Crowe on his movies. Even though he's an actor, he would like, I'll just PA for you.
Yeah, he's the man. Did you ever see his Back to the Future footage?
No, have you?
Yeah, so you look it up.
Why,
after
they take
this.
You, I thought maybe they took you in an Amblin.
No,
like, now that you're part of Amblin,
no,
you
I
can
mean,
see this.
No, I mean, he got cast before
Michael
J. Fox.
But they have that footage?
Yeah, there's like 5 minutes of footage online, and it's a side-by-side, and it's wildly more dark because of his
delivery and
there's
stuff.
There's no comedy.
There's
in
no,
it.
Like, out of a DeLorean?
Yeah, and he's like, wait, you made out of DeLorean? Like, it's fully, so serious, and you're like, dude, this is dark, man. This is
there was
dark.
A reason they made the decision as they did.
Yeah, all right.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. He has been working since he come out the womb 10 minutes ago. You're going to be seeing him for the rest of your lives, so get very comfortable as you have been for the last few seasons of Stranger Things with him, for the It pictures and whatnot. Get ready for his turning Get ready for more Ghostbusters, man, and get ready for more Finn Wolfhard. The world is yours, man.
Thanks.
Vancouver. Well represented, my friend.
Very.
Well represented.
Thank you.
Excellent talking to you, man.
Yeah,
thanks for making the time.
Thanks for coming.
Talk
thanks
to you
for
later,
having
man.
Me.
That is Smodcast this week. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Finn Wolfhard.
Have a week.
This has been a production of Smodco Internet Radio. Sir, only at smodcast.com.